Bibles tonight, turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 15. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. Second Samuel 15, and the message tonight is how hearts are stolen. We're going to be seeing tonight Absalom trying to steal the hearts of the Israelites away from his dad. And as we read all the scriptures that relate to Absalom, we come to understand that David loved his son Absalom very much. I mean, you see it from the beginning right on through to when Absalom, we'll see later on, he's hanging in a tree by the hair of his head and get some darts thrown through his heart, dies, and he just it just really took a lot out of David. Even though Absalom stole the throne from him for a period of time, he still loved his son. We see tonight that this one whom he loved so much was bent on trying to steal his own father's kingdom. This is another chapter here in a series of chapters that shows some of the events that took place after David's awful sins. We saw last week how David's life had become complicated, and we see those complications continue. It's because of the consequences of his sin. We've seen and we'll see the grave consequences that fell upon David and his house because of the sin. Now, in my lifetime, I've heard three things both preached and said over and over again. And when I say them, those of you that have been in church any length of time, you probably heard some preacher preach this. But it's about sin and what it will do in your life. And I found them to be true. It goes this way: sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you there longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you far more than you wanted to pay. I know that's true with regard to several different folks in the Bible. No doubt it's true in David's life. I think David realized what high price he was going to pay for his sin. And I know that it stands true in the life of Jonah. I think when I preached it one time, I used that. I don't think I actually used that for an outline, but I used those three points as I was preaching and from the book of Jonah, because Jonah, of course, you know, he had no idea he's going to be in the belly of a whale. You know, sin took him where he didn't want to go. I guarantee he didn't want to be there. And it kept him there longer than he wanted to stay. I don't know how, you know, he was in there 3 days, 3 nights. That's a long time, isn't it? And it cost him far more than he was willing to pay. Now, tonight, for the sake of our study, I want you to see Absalom's actions here show him to be a type of Satan. Okay? Won't you think about that for just a minute? As he fulfills this type, we will see him as he steals the hearts of men because he desired the true king's kingdom. That's what Satan does. Satan tries to steal men's hearts from the real king, King Jesus. Amen? And we know that Absalom wanted the kingdom that had belonged to King David, his father. And let's read the verses here. Verse number 1 through 6 is all we're going to deal with tonight, and probably going to only deal with the first four verses, and I just want to refer to the last verse here at the beginning. But read verse number 1. And it came to pass, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there's no man deputed of the of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel, and came to the king that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom, here it is, so Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Listen to me closely. In a very similar way, Satan wants to turn the hearts of people away from Jesus Christ. He wants to be your king instead of King Jesus being your king. He wants you to listen to him instead of listening to God. In these verses tonight, we're going to see that Absalom exhibits some of the same characteristics that Satan exhibited in the past and that he still exhibits today. Absalom was both conniving and he was convincing in his getting folks to listen to him and follow him. Just as Satan has shown himself as conniving and convincing in getting folks to listen to him and follow him, all we need to do is just go back to the Garden of Eden. You know, he was conniving in his approach to Eve, and he was very convincing. Got her to looking at the fruit, and she got to looking at it and lusting after it. Before you know it, she's eating it. Now, Satan has been trying to do to the heavenly father what Absalom did to his earthly father, and he's been doing it ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And I believe we see some parallels here. Now, I want to deal tonight with this particular thought. We see that Absalom stole hearts by changing people's focus. Absalom stole the hearts of Israel by changing people's focus. And Satan does the same thing. Absalom got the people of Israel to begin looking to him for satisfaction and for him to solve their problems. Do you see that there in what we read? One of the ways that Satan messes with us is by getting us to take our eyes off of Jesus and to get them on other things, on our things, and on his things. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2 says that we are to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that's set before us. And it tells us looking unto Jesus. And that looking unto Jesus, that word looking there means focusing on. We're to focus on Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. Satan knows what appeals to our flesh. And so he makes every effort to change our focus, causing us to take our eyes off of the true king. How does this happen? I want to give you several points here. First of all, we see that Absalom used distraction. Think of the word distraction. Absalom used distraction to change people's focus. And Satan does the same thing. Notice verse 1. Came to pass after this, Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now, can you imagine what kind of commotion that was causing? That must be somebody important. Don't you imagine every time he rode by with all that going on, you know, folks' heads turned, didn't they? And this Absalom must be somebody. He must be somebody. Verse 2, Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. We see he takes an interest in these folks. Now, he's not interested in the people. He's interested in becoming king. Scripture says that Absalom was a very attractive young man. You remember chapter number 14, look in 14, verse 25 there. It says, but in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty, From the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. So he was an attractive young man, but he was also very cunning and crafty, and we would call him probably ambitious young man. Now, there's nothing wrong with being ambitious. You know, we ought to have an ambition for God, but we ought to have ambitions in the right place. Amen. And he didn't. Absalom coveted his father's kingdom. And you can mark it down. Anytime somebody is jealous or someone covets what someone else possesses, that's of Satan. And that was the case with Absalom. Absalom prepared chariots and horses and had 50 men to run before him. And this showed where his trust was. It most certainly wasn't in the Lord. You know, he's trusting in himself to try to turn the hearts. You know, if God really wanted him to have been king, could the Lord have made it happen? Could have. We see Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Absalom was all about self-will, though. What he wanted is what he wanted, not what the Lord wanted. And who does that remind you of? You know, when you think about Satan, my mind goes to his self-will. It goes over to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14, verses 12 through 14, that says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut to the ground, which did weaken the nations? And by the way, he was weakening Israel by what he was doing here. And so, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Well, absolutely, hey, I will be king. That's what he had in mind. Absalom did what he did to cause the subjects of the kingdom, the men of Israel, to take their eyes off the true king, King David, and to begin to look to him instead. He used this as a means to gain their attention. I want you to think for a minute of the many different ways that Satan tries to both distract folks from where their focus should be and attract them to himself and to his kingdom. Does he distract? I think that's one of the biggest problems today with people. When you try to get them to talk, when you try to talk to them about the Lord, or you try to get them to come to church, we live in a very distracted society. Satan has got it down here in our country. Absalom used the people's desires and concerns for his own purposes here. He feigns that he cares for people, but his real concern was gaining the kingdom. Satan does the same thing. Oh, how well his false allurements work on us and our flesh. You know, Satan loves to use our flesh against us. He uses that which appeals to our flesh because he knows our flesh is weak. Whether it be through fleshly pleasure, worldly entertainment, or worldly ambition, or whatever has fleshly appeal, whatever works, he'll use it. Satan will use. He has no gall. He'll use whatever works to try to pull you away from God and to get you to turn toward the world. Now understand that our fleshly desires, satisfied in a proper setting, can have wholesome and quality values. You know, he tries to deal with the fleshly pleasure. Well, you know, there's some things that God has given to us in life that bring pleasure. But God has set boundaries, hasn't he? And you must do those things within God's boundaries. Satan perverts the use of these things to distract us from the Lord. We tell the difference by looking at if it's something that hinders your walk with Christ or causes you to become unfaithful to Him or His church, then it is a distraction. That's how you know if it's wrong. If you're tempted to do something outside of the boundaries established by the Lord, you'd better leave it alone. God sets boundaries for our protection, just like the guardrails. You ever seen somebody jump across the guardrail where that was a stupid thing to do, and they wind up getting hurt? I remember when we took a trip right after about a year after my dad died, we went with Mom to Colorado, and we go up the Rocky Mountains. And they had guardrails, thank the Lord, there to keep you from going off the edge in some places where you would really might be in harm's way. I didn't have all the places. I wish they did. But I thank the Lord for those guardrails. Well, you need to thank God for the guardrails in your life, the boundaries that He's put there, because it's to protect you and protect me. Satan uses the things that appeal to the flesh to distract us and to pull us away from the Lord and the Lord's will and the Lord's heavenly kingdom, and to attract us to himself and his earthly kingdom. You know, our focus is to be a heavenly focus, and he wants us to have an earthly focus. You know. And so he tries his best to get our focus down here instead of heavenward. So be careful of distraction. Satan will use it to try to change your focus. Second thing I want you to see is Absalom also used deception. That's the second D. Not only distraction, but he used deception to change the people's focus. And Satan does the same thing too. There in verse 3 and verse 4, Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." In other words, you know, the king just don't really care about you. You know, he hadn't put anybody up to hear your matters. Now, that wasn't the case. They could have went to the king. But he's meeting them at the gate before they get in there. There in verse 4, Absalom said, "Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me. I would do him justice." Yeah. Can you hear him? Yeah. We see that Absalom lied here, telling the subjects of King David that there was nobody commissioned by the king to hear them. He also told them that if he were king, he'd make sure that they would have justice. Satan is like that. You know, he's a great counterfeiter. He's the father of lies. Listen to what Jesus said about him in John 8:44. He said, "Year of your father the devil, and lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So, that's what Satan is. Satan began his masterful work of deception in the Garden of Eden when he put a question mark where God put a period. Or we could say that God put an exclamation mark, really. That old serpent asked Eve there in Genesis 3:1, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Well, in the previous chapter in Genesis 2, verse 16 to 17, the Lord had made it very clear. "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." What part of "thou shalt not surely die" do you not understand? God put an exclamation point on it, didn't he? Satan still casts doubt on the Word of God. He still puts question marks in men's minds where the Lord puts periods and exclamation marks. He does that with the proliferation of all these versions that are out there. "Well, your Bible doesn't say the same thing as mine, and you know, I think I'm gonna go with mine." Well, you better go with what God says. You know, somebody's missing out on something. You better watch out. Make sure you got all the Word of God. Satan will tell you that you don't need old-time religion. Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." That's what he told Israel. Israel said, "We're not going to do that." And when they didn't do that, what happened? Well, it was bad for them, wasn't it? They began walking their own ways, walking the ways that Satan had them to walk in. Before you know it, they found themselves in bondage again. They were in Babylon, and they were in heaps of trouble. And Jerusalem had been destroyed. Satan will tell you that your sin's not all that bad. Now listen, it still is what nailed Jesus to the old rugged cross. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He paid that sin debt for us. He paid our death. Satan will tell you that if everyone else is doing it, it must be all right to do. It's real popular in our day and time. Well, you know, but the majority of people think it's okay. I don't care if everybody and his brother thinks it's okay. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Satan will whisper to you and tell you that the Lord does not hear when you pray. Well, that may be true if you're not saved or if you're not right with God, but listen, if you're saved and you stay on praying ground and you're praying to God, God will hear your prayers. He will. Satan will tell you that miracles are a thing of the past and the Lord no longer performs them, but my God can still do the impossible. Yeah, He can. Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God's able. Now, it's not always God's will. But don't think that God can't, because He can't. He can do what He wants. And listen to me, the devil is a deceiver and he's a liar. And one of these days he will be cast in the lake of fire with this sentence upon him. This is what Revelation 20 verse 10 says. And the devil that deceived them, was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So be careful of Satan's distraction, and be careful of Satan's deception, because he uses those to change our focus. Then the last thing I want you to see here tonight is Absalom used discouragement. There's the third D, discouragement, to change the people's focus. There in verse 3, when he told them, hey, you know, the king's got nobody to listen to you. Yeah, I wish he did have. If I were the king, you would have a way. You don't think that didn't bring discouragement to him? As Absalom continued his lies, he sounded a lot like Satan. Satan enjoys using negatives against the Lord to discourage the true king's subjects, doesn't he? Yeah. He wants you to think, well, you know, God could have, you know, He didn't have to let you go through that. He'll tell the preacher that his sermon is no longer relevant to his listeners. Nobody's listening to you anyway. Why don't you just quit? He'll tell the Sunday school teacher that they're not qualified to teach, or that they're not making a difference. He'll tell you that you're either too young or too old to serve God. He'll tell you who are praying for a lost loved one that it's too late for that person to be saved. Brother Doug, Satan wants you and those ladies and myself that sing specials to think that our voice skills aren't good enough to be doing what we're doing. Yeah. Y'all not good enough to be doing that. Y'all need to get some professionals up there. He wants a young person to think that he cannot bring a proper mate by staying in faithful in a church like ours. We don't have a lot of children. You know, one of the things people, they'll come and they'll visit and bring their children with them, and they'll leave. If you don't have children, it's hard to draw children. It just really is. And that's because people got their focus on the wrong thing. They focus on the Word of God, focus on being under the right thing. God can take care of those other issues. I know what I'm talking about. My daughter, the church that we were at up in Indiana, there was nobody in that church. no marrying material at all. And God brought young man into her life there from 6 hours away. And they've been married now 14, 15 years. I think it's 14 years, something like that. I know it's been a good long time. But listen, as you're going through one of life's valleys, as we all do, Satan will tell you nobody in church cares anything about you. Nobody down there in that church cares about you. He'll tell you that God will not forgive your sin or that you're too evil to be saved. I remember preaching in prisons, and a couple of different times I had got fellows that I just had a hard time coming to grips that God would save them. They felt like they were too evil to be saved. There's nobody beyond the reach of God's grace unless they won't believe. Unless they won't believe. They listen to the lies of the devil. These are just some of the ways that Satan uses to get folks' eyes off the true king. We see that Absalom stole hearts by using distraction, deception, and discouragement to change people's focus. Listen, Satan is using that same strategy today. In fact, he invented that strategy, and we can see that he was the one behind this rebellious son. Is he under Satan's influence? He most certainly is. I wonder, is your focus where it ought to be tonight, or have you gotten off track? Which of these have you fallen for? Are you in the midst of being distracted? Are you in the midst of being deceived by him? Or are you in the midst of discouragement that you just can't get over? Man, you better keep your focus on Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's set that aside. That's our study for tonight. Let's pull back out our prayer list. And these needs that we went over, we'll pray for them and we'll be dismissed.